Right here. Oh, there you are. Good. And elders, if you could just kind of step right up behind them. Rachel, you look brave. How are you ladies doing?
Good.
Good? Excited?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christy goes, oh, yeah, kind of. It's a little nervous, too, isn't it? Yeah, are you nervous? You all look lovely. What a great day this is. And we had the privilege, as your elders in this church, to hear your professions of faith recently. And we just lingered over that, and we just loved it. We loved to hear your heart. We loved to hear you express how much you love Jesus in your own words, and it warmed our hearts, and we just had a great time with you. And now it's this time that here all of these folks of our congregation are here for you because they want to hear the answers that you make to these questions, okay? And they're so excited for you. I know you have family here, right? And they're excited too. They've been praying for this time. And we also know that angels in heaven are looking down on us, and they're just smiling. They're rejoicing over this moment. Here are the questions. They're going to ask that you listen to all of the questions and answer with one yes, okay? And then we'll start with you, Rachel, and then we'll move down, okay? Here are the questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that the Bible is the one true Word of God? And do you promise to profess Christ publicly, to serve Him daily, and to walk in His teachings? And do you promise to share in the life of the church, to be faithful in your worship, and to offer your prayers and gifts? And do you promise to accept the spiritual guidance of the church? Rachel, what is your response?
Yes.
Andrea?
Yes.
And Christy?
Yes.
Okay, pass the mic back down. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say anything you want at this moment. Rachel, let's just start with you. Did you shared with us something at the elders' meeting about praying for a classmate. Do you remember that? Could you just share that?
Well, on International Day, this boy Alex got many chances to share his speech, and he has stage fright, and he got scared every time. And his last chance, I prayed for him, and he did it very good.
That's a great thing, isn't it? Okay. Do you have anything you want to say?
Mm-mm.
Okay, Kristen. Okay. I know you want to thank your moms and dads and all that they've done in bringing you to the young women that you really are right now. We're going to pass the mic right behind you there to Sharon. Sharon is our elder who has mentored each one of these young ladies, and we're grateful for your teaching and for your mentorship, and we're going to ask that you would pray for them, please.
Heavenly Father, we are rejoicing with the angels today that these three girls are making their public profession of faith. And we ask that you would use this special occasion to prick the hearts of those here with us who may also be wanting to make their profession of faith, to call you Lord and Savior, to know that you are their God. And we just thank you, Lord, for these wonderful women, and just surround them with your love and with your guidance as they serve you for the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And if you'll just turn around to the elder behind you, they have something there for you. And I'll take the mic from you, Sharon, so you don't have to. There you go. And now turn back around this way. There you go. And would you welcome these young ladies? What a neat time. Thank you. You may go be seated. Oh, you got two mics. It's going to be a long prayer. Oh, here we go.
And now we get to call upon God in prayer, our congregational prayer. So please join me. Dear God, we do thank you for this time of celebration, for these young ladies, for Andrea, Rachel, and Christy, and for their decision to serve you and to dedicate their lives to you. We do pray that it would be a reminder to all of us about commitments we have made, and that we would truly live for you, O God. We're going to read about Cain and Abel this morning, and we pray that that you would forgive us, O God, for our sins and for sometimes being stingy with our gifts to you. We pray that we would be generous as you are generous with us. We know that you've given us great great blessings, and you've walked with us. We pray, too, for all of the people that came yesterday to the food truck, and we give you praise that you provided good weather for that event and that many people did come. We pray this morning there were many prayer concerns that people wrote down, and we just pray not only for their physical needs, for the food, that it would bless their bodies, but also for their spiritual needs. And we pray that that they could come and worship with us as well, O God. We pray that that ministry would be a blessing unto those people. We pray too, O God, for the prayer walk for next week. We pray for courage for members of our church, these people here, that we would choose to be a witness in that way, even though it's a bit scary. We also pray for some of the many things that are going on in the church, for the search committee, for the strategic planning team, for you, what your will is for this congregation in the future. And we're thankful for their efforts and pray that you will give them discernment and guidance. We want to pray also for those who are suffering with illness. We want to pray for Don Cucci's father, who's in hospice care, and for Angie's father, who's still sick, and a bit of a challenge for Angie. We just pray for those caregivers and for that they'd be a blessing unto those who are ill. We also give thanks for the marriage yesterday of Kara and Kelly, Kerry Vinord. And we just pray that you'll bless their new marriage. And we pray for all marriages, oh God. We know this, that you love marriage and that you have blessed it. And we pray for each of us as we live in our married lives, and it's not always easy, but we pray that you will bless those relationships. We pray, God, that you will teach us now, that you will open our eyes, that we will be able to learn from your word this morning. We acknowledge that we cannot learn or understand without your blessing, so we pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon us. To come upon Pastor Jim, and that we would see your power and your glory, and that we would learn and understand new things today. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
invite you to turn in God's Word to the book of Genesis, chapter 4, and we'll begin reading there at verse 3. This is the word of God. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor upon Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop to you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And we'll end the reading of God's word. Do you know of someone whose life seems to be filled with one difficulty right after another? It's almost like they're the lightning rod in a thunderstorm of trouble. And they get hit every time. I know I've known people like that. And in all of my years as a pastorate, I have seen people and talked with people who have just agonized over their life of trial and trouble. It just never seems to end for them. And they ask me, they said, "We don't know what we've done. We don't know if we've sinned. We don't know if we've offended God somehow. Can you help us? Why does it seem that God doesn't have any grace? Why does it seem that God doesn't have any compassion for us? Why does it seem like every time we go to Him, He turns His back?" These are tough questions for struggling people. And I think that's the way, at first, it must have seemed that life was going for Cain. The eldest son of Eve and Adam. Cain was a farmer, and he was out in the field planting and reaping and taking care of his crops. And his story begins in Scripture with an interesting event. The story begins with Cain bringing an offering to God. And we also learn that his younger brother Abel, who was a shepherd, also brought an offering to God. So if you can, in your mind's eye, see this event happening, whether it happened exactly the same moment, we're not told, but this is what was going on. This is how we're introduced to them. There's an interesting thing happening here. Now, for those of you that may be visiting this morning, this is the second in a series of messages that I have entitled Life with God Can Be Unpredictable. That's on the cover of your bulletin. And I honestly have to say, I couldn't have seen this comment from God coming. This was unpredictable to me when I read this for the first time. Here it is. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Now, as we read Genesis, we're not told why. Not at least at first. There's no preface to this. It just is a statement. And it seems unfair. I mean, it really did to me. First time I read this, this is not fair. What's going on here? Is God playing favorites? Scripture tells us of Cain's reaction. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now think back in your life, and some of us can think back longer than others, I'm sure, but as you think back on your life, you've had times when you can relate to this. You can know those times when you felt slighted. And it hurts more when you feel slighted by someone who's important to you in your life. You can think back, you know that. Sometimes as you remember back, you go, wow, that still hurts a little bit. That had to be what Cain was feeling. I mean, to feel this way, it's an affront by God himself. And that had to be troubling. From the Genesis account all by itself, it's hard to figure out what God is thinking, what God is up to, what God's reasoning is. It appears to be unpredictable. God liked Abel. He liked what Abel brought. He didn't like Cain. He didn't like his offering. How do we live with a God that seems, that appears to be so capricious? How do we deal with this God whose actions sometimes seem to us to be random and erratic and just don't make sense to us? What's up with that? And if you've not felt this way, you need to read Scripture a little bit more, because God sometimes behaves in ways that we can't predict. But it's when we read into the New Testament and we find there Hebrews 11:4, these words, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did." Now that's a clue. That's helpful. That's beginning to help us unpack this a little bit. There was something about these offerings that made one better than the other, but still doesn't answer everything for us. It's helpful to go to John. 1 John 3:12, John wrote, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous." That helps. That begins to get at where we're at with this whole idea of the offerings. Abel's offering was given in faith, and Cain's was not. The fact that Abel was righteous indicates that he had a good relationship with God. There must have been things going on between him and God all the time. as he was doing his shepherding work, there had to be these back and forths. He probably prayed. Maybe God appeared to him. There's lots of things happening there with Abel. And when Abel brought his offering, it was an act of sincere worship. There was this offering that was a love gift back to God. It was something that Abel sacrificed so that God would be pleased with him. The offering was freely and gladly given. And we can conclude that Abel had already given himself to God before he brought his sacrificial offering. God was pleased. God's pleased with you and me when we worship from the heart. When we gather together in a place like this and we honestly come before him with our heart, with our voices, with our offerings, and we lift up our whole being before him and we get wrapped up in the worship event, and we just say, God, you are so good. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. Whatever expressions you use, God is pleased with that. And in your own weekly devotional time, in your own time where you worship God with whatever you're doing, wherever you are, it's a constant walk with our God, and he's pleased. The Lord longs for our willing and our loving service, and he so much desires our friendship and our companionship. God loves us more than we would ever, ever even begin to imagine. That is the depth of his love for us is unfathomable. And he wants so much for us to respond in kind, with love, in return. He simply wants us to love him. What does sin have to do with it? Well, it doesn't take reading into Scripture very long before we realize that God tells things about himself to us. He's pure. He's perfectly holy. He's righteous in everything he does. He's good. In fact, God cannot sin. And yet we know that as we walk this planet Earth, sin is everywhere around us. It's a reality. Sin is defined as lawlessness. Sin is defiantly being in disobedience to God. God didn't create sin, but he did create us human beings, and he did create the angelic beings, which are a whole different realm of created order, with free will. He gave us the ability to choose, which was an awesome, awesome thing in his creation. And because we have this ability to make choices, we can choose to obey him. We can choose to love him. We can choose to worship him. We can choose to honor him or not. That's our choice. That's how he made us. God wants our love so much. But honestly, as you leave this room today, those choices will be right there for you. Dozens of times every day, you'll have a choice. Honor God or not. Love God or not. Serve God or not, bless God or not, worship God or not. They're always going to be there. It's our choice. And we have to know this. Scripture tells us also that when we choose not, that separates us from God. So there was a warning. This is the amazing thing here. Even though God rejected Cain's offering, he didn't reject Cain. Even though he said this was wrong, it was brought with a wrong heart, he graciously did not walk away from Cain. God said to Cain, if you do what is right, Will you not be accepted? And the answer, of course, is yes, you'll be accepted. But if you do not do what is right, and you'd expect the opposite, wouldn't you? You won't be accepted. But this is what God says. If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. That's the warning. God is giving Cain a loving, gracious invitation to come back. Now, I want to be very clear about this. Cain has a conscience. He knew the difference between obeying God and not. Obeying God is good. Turning from God is evil. And now Cain finds that his offering has been rejected. And that event should be coming more clearly into focus for us. What was going on there is very, very interesting, very important for our own lives. It's reasonable to assume that Cain's offering was brought grudgingly. I have to do it, grumble, grumble, mumble. I don't want to go to church this morning. I'm sure not going to put anything in the offering plate. You know, whatever it is. All right. If I have to. Sin is like a wild beast lying in wait, ready to pounce and devour. I want you to know that that's as true for us today, those of us in this room, as it was for Cain in his day. That's true. So I ask you, what is the wild beast that's tethered by your door? This is hard to think about. What wrong thing, what evil thing, what sinful activity, thought, or deed have you committed that's been unresolved between you and God? And if it's there, it's like this evil, wild beast tethered at your door. It's like this embodiment of a monster ready to attack you. And I think that before long, each one of us need to realize that there are these invisible heinous, terrible, horrible monsters, venomous things that are waiting to devour us. God told Cain that he needed to master his desire to sin. And I have to ask myself, is that possible? Can we do that? What was God telling Cain? We can't do it by ourselves. We cannot master sin by ourselves or kill the monster tethered at our door. We must seek God's help for this. And fortunately, friends, you and I live in the New Testament era. And we know that Jesus, God himself, God's own Son, came to earth for the one purpose of sacrificing himself on the cross, being raised again to new life, for the purpose of purging our sin, taking it away so that we can be forgiven. Jesus paid the penalty for sin that we deserve. It is so that through him, through his shed blood on the cross, we might be forgiven. And that monster that's by our door can be slain once and for all. That's God's great plan of love
and our salvation, offering us an opportunity to be forgiven. We can receive these free gifts, which include the blessing of the spiritual power to resist the temptations that lead to sin. It's God's gracious provision for us. Listen, we are lost and we are helpless without trusting in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That is unpredictable. Who could have figured on that? Who could have predicted back in the day that God would come and offer himself for us? God is going to respond to our sin one way or another. Here's what happened. Defiantly, Cain deliberately sought out his brother Abel, and he murdered him. I hope I never have to see the video of that. You know, it's one of those events. You wonder what he whispered in his ear, what sort of luring things he had to say to him as he got him out into the field where there was no one there to see but God. Once again, and I think this is just amazing, God graciously did not walk away from Cain, but sought him out. And when confronted, Cain did not confess or repent. God interrogated Cain about Abel, and when given the opportunity to come clean, Cain refused. He denied all knowledge of his brother and all responsibility for his brother. And the crouching beast had just pounced on him. The moment he lied to God, Cain didn't yield to God. Rather, he allowed himself to be mastered by Satan. And when we are in sin, God graciously comes to us with another opportunity to unburden ourselves, to give him our heart again, to free ourselves of the load of guilt that we carry around. I'm not going to tell you the details. I've told a couple people about this, but I found this was true in my own mother's case. All of the years she carried around a burden of guilt, and it wasn't until the last few months of her life that she confessed that. Please, please do not go the way of Cain. Confess to God your sin and ask him, plead with him, beg him to be merciful to you and to rid you of the beast at the door. Cain's story is a sad one. It really is. God did punish him, but Cain did not pay for his brother's life with his own. There were going to be consequences. God, as the judge, handed down the verdict. And here's the sentence. He had to leave his homeland as a fugitive. He would keep farming, but the land wasn't going to be productive for him. He had to really scratch out a living. Cain was fearful. His punishment was hard. He was going to be banished from the face of God. Thinking that he'd be killed out there in the world, which begs a whole bunch of questions we're not going to get into today. But In desperation, Cain finally pleads with God, but it's not the one that I thought he would say. He never asks for forgiveness, but he asks for mercy. Amazingly again, God granted it to him. He marked him. Who knows what that meant? He marked him, and in such a mark, so that anyone he encountered would know both the crime and the fact that God's safety was with him. God was going to protect him. We are forgiven because God is incredibly gracious. And that's the bottom line for every one of us, each person in this room. Listen, if you've not yet accepted the way of salvation that's been offered to you by God through his son Jesus Christ, now is the opportunity. You've seen these young women up here having given their heart to the Lord and what that means for them. You can have the assurance that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection is for you, for you. There's no transgression that you could ever commit that God would not forgive when you humbly come before him and ask. Scripture tells us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you're refusing this morning, if you're refusing to accept responsibility for your sin, and you know that you committed it, now's the time to confess. The Holy Spirit is in your mind and in your heart, bringing this to your mind, working on your conscience. So please, today, yield to him. If, in fact, God has been disciplining you for an unrepentant sin, he's doing that for a reason, not because he's vindictive, but because he wants you to turn around and come back to him. He wants you to face up to your life and come and fall before him and let him cleanse you. He's giving you a chance to take stock of your life. He's giving you another opportunity to call on his mercy. Do it. Do it now. Do it. Why? How? Because God is incredibly gracious. He is. We don't deserve it. And yet he says, come. Come to me. Come. Let's pray together. Our Lord in heaven, we thank you for this time that we have to reflect on your grace. Your grace that is so, so unpredictable. When we know what we deserve, and we know that you are holy and righteous, we know that you have the power to condemn, and yet you extend to us the opportunity for love and forgiveness and grace. We are so, so incredibly taken back by that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And as we prepare our hearts for the table, we know that God is inviting us to come. And he wants us to remember that his blood was shed on the cross so that we can be forgiven and reconciled. That he was raised again to new life so that we can come and have the assurance that we are his and that we have eternal life waiting for us. We also come to this table knowing that our Lord God is present with us at this table. And that as we take the elements, the bread and the juice, we know that he feeds our souls spiritually. And that we can come knowing that once again we are filled with his spirit, filled with his goodness, filled with his power. We also know as we come to this table and we recall his words, this promises us that one day we with all his people will be around that great banquet table in heaven where we shall see our Lord face to face and we shall rejoice for all eternity. If you've made a public profession of faith and that's been received at an evangelical church, you are welcome at this table. We're going to ask that you come forward. Elders, if you please come forward right now.